Blog Talk Radio.
The True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Live Yahweh Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast. Radio is now on the air. I'll be your host. My name, yours. All right, let's see what we're on the broadcast tonight. We're going to drop it off with another lesson. Excellent lesson last night. There are a couple of things we left off from last night. That's what we're going to try it all in. But let's see coming on stage. Then we see you. Hey, young line. Hey, bye-bye. Yahqua bless you, Lord.
Yahqua bless you there. See ya. Israel of Seed Roy. Hello, Yahqua.
What's going on, man? I don't hear no bug-tight.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't hear that. I can hear the feedback.
Put on the whole armor of the cross that we may be able to
stand
the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahuwah's Radio is now on the air. I be your host. My name, your fear, Israel, of Steve Roy. We're doing a series called The Number, Revealing the Number of the D666. It's on a petition, but the series is winding down. And we got a few more episodes to put on the table, and we're going to find out what the next topic is. Well, right now, we're going to see who's coming on stage for tonight's episode, case number 50. And again, we see the young lion ready to roar. We're going to find out what's going on. But when you meet and greet the young lion, Brother Titus Israel, one of the up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1. Brother Titus, Yahuwah Israel, be right.
Yahuwah bless you there. See you, Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there. Brother Titus Israel, he is pretty fine, pretty fine. And we also see Sister Judith is on, it's coming on stage. Let's see, can we speak and greet Sister Judith? Let's see, can we meet and greet her. Sister Judith, one of the sisters out of Camp 1. Yahuwah be to their seed royal.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, hallelujah, Yahuwah. Sound fine. All right, Sister Judith, like she's up and geared and ready to go. That's a great thing. So you might as well get something going on. Let's, like I said, we left off a few things out of last night lesson. We don't know. But we'll find out exactly once got a memo. It'll be a few minutes late. He'll tell you all about the broadcast, but it's the tape number 50. So, Brother Titus, look, read that Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if they say that, Brother Titus. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter
12,
verse 12. But the right spirit to teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Uh-huh. All right. You see the righteous spirit do the teaching. And we know you and your better half is kind of a little close, so we want to try to manipulate the microphone and make sure we don't have no feedback. So, good. So, we left off on a few things there, young lion, last night lesson. And I want to go back and make sure we understand that when you're dealing with the Armageddon is the final blow. And everybody going to be in a proper position, they places and everything else. Armageddon, that's called basically a high horse keeping, because that's wrapping everything up in Armageddon. So let's go back to end time prophecy there, young lion. You're going to Revelation 16, and we're going to pick up at verse 16. And let's see what's going on, and let's find out exactly. We're going to try to cut wet down to the chase. So Revelation 16, pick up at verse 16 and see what's going on. Come on.
Book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 16 reads, And he gathered them together into a place called, in Semitic tongue, flew the word Hebrew.
Armageddon. So he gathered in the place called Armageddon. All right. And that's a tongue in the Semitic tongue called Armageddon. And why so? Verse 17.
Verse 17. And the seven angels, ministering spirit, pulled his veil into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done.
So there's a veil. See, once that seven angels pour out that final bow, that seven bow, it is done. That means all the work that been prophesied to be by is over. All that work is finished. So now, what work is finished? But it have been done. Let's find out what have been finished there, young lion. Let's run back to Ezekiel 39, 1 down to verse 20. We're going to find out exactly what have been finished. He said, everything is over once that seven angel pulled out his vow. That means the whole mission have been finished. Matter of fact, hold that point. So since it was finished, Sister Judith, help those see out. In Revelation chapter 10, Sister Judith, let's pick it up at verse number 1 down to verse number 7. Let's find out since it's all been finished. But tell you what, let's pull that up. Because our elder came on the scene, so we all like to stay in order. So we'll bring our elder in. Remember, the students are coming right back with Revelation chapter 10, 1 through 7. So you might as well get warmed up on it. We're going to bring our elder in, tell y'all about the broadcast, and then we'll get back on this showing you about this Armageddon. It's the final blow for the known world. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Kill Israel. Yahweh bless you, C. Roy.
And Yahweh bless you, C. Israel, C. Roy. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hello, Yahweh, Elder. Well, we were getting ready to hit them at Armageddon, the second part of that Armageddon. You know, it's the final blow for the world. But one thing about it, once you stay in protocol in Yahweh, and that's the game changer. Once you stay in protocol with Yahweh, you'd be surprised at how he'll kick in. So that I don't care how busy you get, stay in tune with Yahweh's protocol.
Oh, Yahweh.
The national audience is waiting, over 900,000 strong on the international side. So whatever Almighty put on you, tell them, you're on the clock. The flow is yours and come out.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see it as well, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of over 900,000 listeners. And you know, that's a good thing, because I'm finding out more and more each day that we do have to get this word out here and get it out correctly. Because you got people out here, pastors and people with other religions, they will turn you against your own Bible that you read. I had a Muslimic guy today tell me, he says, you know, the reason why we Muslims need our Bible so much is because it's mentioned in the regular King James. And I asked, I says, what's mentioned? Mohammed. Well, being familiar with the scripture that we should be with the voice of the true Israelites, I says, I don't remember Mohammed being mentioned nowhere in the Bible. Can you show me where that is? You know, because education is always a good thing, especially when it's education from the Bible. He went to Mark. Had to sniggle there for a minute because when he went to Mark, he went to chapter 7, and he started reading. And he says, see, it says that a man that's real strong is going to come pretty soon. Oh, well, Where does say Muhammad at? See, this is where you catch him at. When you use the Bible, as it said, to interpret the Bible, being familiar with the scriptures, as the seer tried to make us familiar with the scriptures, but rehearsing the righteous act. And when you do that, what does it tell you in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10? 10 says, for Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work, the labor of love, which you had shown toward his name, and that you do minister to the saints and do minister. And we do that on a daily basis to try to make sure it's told right. We know as many people out there, like I said before, with their own stories, but it's not of your own stories. It's what the Bible says it should be. We learn that a teacher can't learn from his students, as I said before, because he's always given wise counsel. But having knowledge, the teacher, he even gains more experience by teaching. Now, a student can also learn from wise counsel and possibly learning to teach one day themselves. And as I said many times before, this shows well in all the six camps that teach. Because we have to be aware, by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given the knowledge to know there are those out there that camouflage their evil or confused teachings, as I had just explained a few minutes ago. An overly loud bump the dumps contest for their method of righteous learning, and even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against us that know, like that Muslimic guy I just spoke of, trying to turn the scripture around and make it say something else. So this is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of loud bump the dumps, the righteous learning, Christianity, and other teachings. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry. But come see live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahweh's Word, learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, food you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have knowledge. This is the information you came to seek and have to look no further now, because you've now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you on a normal day, so from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. We have a class time that starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members decide to leave. We also have a website address to use this on any one of your smart devices in a tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, once again, look for tribeyada.com-Israelite. This will take you to a big liner where you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. However, any other device you might see menu, but after clicking in, you'll still see the choices. You'll choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells us all in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, your kindness of the people. Give unto the Yahweh, glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver, and also donations that's given to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing your best sales to Yahweh. Also for building the school, which is very well needed, will keep you educated in the word of Yahweh. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods will continue to speak on the program of Yahweh. Also while there, check out our calendar. The calendar is there to keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program, which is a feature that's available during our broadcast time. This time, to get there, type in three words, Yakwa Radio Live. And after clicking, look for Voices of the True Israelites, try the drop out. Click the red live button, and as soon as it appears, it'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We also have a few numbers you can call with Yakwa in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other number is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave those messages on Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone of the 600 camps of Paul's ministry. But also, in saying that, please do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you only hear a discouraging click followed by a dollar sign. Also, by calling the same number, you can order what our numbers know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and we'll see you receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact the seer, email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder man, answering many memos, and now even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can catch the entire recorded show after 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. And to do this, enter three words on the search line, Yakwa Radio Live. When you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Choose a program you will later log into, any particular day that you would like to listen. And also, during our normal Broad Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Peloton, which can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or your computer, even now your smartwatch. Just make sure you've downloaded the Peloton app, and they'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. You'll find when you get there a room of 50 or more listening participants, where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer the one of the table topics we discuss during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tears Israel, along with Seer Israel writing a shotgun. During this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more two text questions answered at a time. And if our talk ends before teaching time, we will continue teaching. Well, I'll be with you all. But once again, that continuing reminder that we usually give, that we find it's important that we put it out there. When we're giving the scriptures to speak by this ear, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have over 900,000 listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. So we have to be careful not to make world statements that can't be backed up by the Bible, like that Muslimic guy that I was speaking of just a moment ago. But make those statements that can be backed up in the Bible. So we can start to do just that. We pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Uncle Yahuwah.
All right, yeah, Elder, hallelujah, boy, that's excellent, your part, Elder, spread them books out a little bit, because, you know, seem like there's a whole lot going on, and we want to kind of put a little bit more on this Armageddon, so we can be clear, understand, that's why you out there, that last tape, 49 and 50, you understand what the word Armageddon means, and if you miss a class, you miss a body. So, we're going to come back to that Armageddon again. And that's big talk with that Armageddon. So, young line, let's come here back to that 16th chapter. And I want to read a little bit more about this word, Armageddon. Come back to the 16th chapter there. You're going to learn. And we're going to look right back down at verse number 16 down to 19. That's what we're going to do. 16 down to verse 19. So we come right back to the Armageddon, end time prophecy, the final call on the children of Israel and the world. Final call. This is it. Revelation 16 through 19. You're online, Brother Titus, you're back on the clock again. Revelation chapter 16, verse 16 to 19. Come on.
Book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 16 to 19. Revelation chapter 16, verse 16 reads, and he gathered them together into a place called, in a Semitic tongue, through the word Hebrew, Armageddon. Verse 17, and the seven angels, ministering spirit, pulled out his veil into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. Verse 19, and there were voices and thunder and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Verse 19, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before Yahweh to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
So it came in the mind to give Babylon the great, all that he'd been prophesizing with for a long, long time. Matter of fact, hold that part. I know you're holding something, Sister Judith. But let's find out what was prophesied, Elder Mr. Tills. What was prophesied a long time ago in the book of Jeremiah? Some was prophesied a long time ago. And we go on and find out what was prophesied a long time ago there, Elder, by going to Jeremiah, where he said it came into his mind, it's time to take care of Babylon. You see, it was prophesied a long time ago. Let's read a little bit of that, Elder, as a long time ago in Jeremiah chapter 25. And we'll pick it up around by verse number 13. We'll take it on down to verse number 17. 13 to 17. And then we'll skip down to verse 29 to 32. 29 to 32. And peek over there, a little old big robo that kept big robo. Hold on for just a minute. I thought we could get this Armageddon in. Because he said it was prophesied. And he came back to his mind about giving Babylon something that he had told somebody about. Let's find out about that by going to Jeremiah 25, 13 down to verse 17. And then we'll skip down to verse number 29 to 33. Elder,
on the clock, come on. Book of Jeremiah, looking at chapter 25, verses 13 to 17 and 29 to 32. Verse 13 says, and I will bring up on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah had prophesied against all. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. And I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their own hands. 15. For thus saith Yahweh, of Israel unto me. Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send to drink it. 16. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. 17. Then took I the cup of Yahweh's hand and made all the nations to drink upon whom the Yahweh had sent me. Verse number 29. So, lo, I began to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should be utterly unpunished. Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call upon the sword upon the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Yahweh of hosts. 30. Therefore prophesiest thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Yahweh shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his righteous habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they thread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. 31.
Read verse 33. Read that verse 33, the elder.
Verse 33? Okay, jump into verse 33. And the stone
no,
we'll of
keep,
the
no, keep down. Well, I didn't really hear you. Now keep going down. Keep on straight on down to 33. Because 33 is going to be what I'm really looking for. So wherever you at, continue
okay.
that, but take it down to 33.
Okay. Finishing at 31. And none shall come even to the ends of the earth, for saith the Yahweh, had a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Yahweh. 32. Thus saith the Yahweh of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and with a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. 33. And the slain of the Yahweh shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be laminated, neither granite, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was excellent, Elder. He said he's going to plead with all flesh. So we might as well get a precept on that, Elder. Let's go to Isaiah 66, verse 15 through 17. But Jeremiah did pull that from somewhere. So we talk about Armageddon, the closing of Armageddon. So that was foretold already to the seers, just put it in right. So in Isaiah 66, 15 down to verse 17, let's see how he going to plead with all nations. Isaiah 66, 15 down to verse 17. What does it say? Oh.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, reading 15 to...
Verse 15
17.
Down to 17.
17.
Verse 15 down to verse 17. What does it say? Oh.
Verse number 15 says, Isaiah 56.
56.
Isaiah 66.
Chapter 12. Oh,
66. Isaiah 66. 66.
Now, change my notes here. Okay, Isaiah 66, reading 15 to verse 17. 15 says.
15
to
17. 15
to 17. 15 says, for behold, the Yahweh will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. 16, for by fire and by his sword will be the Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahweh shall be many. 17. They that sanctify themselves, purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Yahweh.
Hallelujah. That means he's going to take care of all the work that he's been telling the children of Israel about, even Leviticus chapter 11, by eating all. So all that, it was a timeline to put it out there, let them know to even leave that hog alone, because Armageddon is Yahweh, is laying the fatal blow when the seven vials is pulled out by the seven angels. He said it was done. That means everything was taken care of. And matter of fact, how much time do he need anyway? And Revelation chapter 18, verse 10 and 11, how much time do Yahweh need anyway for all everything going to be done? Let's look at an end time prophecy, Elder, on how much time do Yahweh need to take care of all this business called Armageddon, the final blow, the fatal blow, the final blow in the 18th chapter. I'll pick it up around about verse number 11. And Jim would say, Elder, 18 of Revelation, verse number 11, what it say?
Okay. I think you want me to start at 10.
Oh, Yahweh.
Yeah, start at 10. Yes, right. Start at verse 10.
Okay. Verse number 10. Standing afar off for the fear of their torment, saying, Alas, Alas, that made a great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come.
Yahweh.
And the merchants of the earth shall weep down and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore.
how much time do Yahweh need to wrap up his business on Armageddon, the final blow? So according to that verse 10, how much time do Yahweh need? And matter of fact, read verse 19. What's it say in verse 19?
Verse number 19, it says, And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, Alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her coastlands. For in 1 hour is she made desolate.
Mm-hmm. So, Elder, how much time do Yahweh need to take care of his business? Once that seven angels say it is dark, how much time do Yahweh need to wrap up this whole world situation there? How much time do you need?
1 hour.
1 hour. Verse 21.
Verse 21 says, And a mighty minister spirit took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all.
You see that? So there it is up there. So like we keep telling those that got a ear to ear, all that kind of prepare yourself for the WKs and retirements and all this, but you better make sure you prepare to understand it's Yahweh's word. That's where you better be clear to know, because every benefit that you receive in this world, Yahweh is going to take 1 hour and throw it down. Because what you leave your loved ones is make sure they have the number one thing left to them, the word of Yahweh. Because that's the only thing going to stand. Because 1 hour, he's going to destroy everything. Now we're going back to Sister Judith and find out who knows this information? We're going back to Revelation chapter 10, Sister Judas. Now we're going to take a little look at some things and find out exactly what we need to hear and who we're supposed to see pertain to all this information. Sister Judas, Revelation chapter 10, 1 through 7, then skip down to 10 and 11. Come on.
Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 7, and verse 10 to 11. Verse 1 reads, "And I saw another mighty miniature spirit come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was that it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Verse 2 reads, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. Verse 3 reads, "And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." Verse 4 reads, "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders utter, and write them not." Verse 5 reads, and the minister spirit which I saw stand upon the sea and open the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. Verse 6 reads, "And swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be times no longer." Verse 7 reads, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh minister spirit, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Yahweh should be finished, as he has declared to his servant the seer." Verse 10 reads, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, of the minister's hand, and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." Verse 11 reads, "And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings."
Excellent. I was actually reading now, Sister Judas. Now, I'll come back to verse 7 again and bring that home one more time, one more again in verse 7. So, Armageddon, final blow. The final blow. And make it plain that, Sister Judas, who knows how the final blow going to be according to verse 7? Come on.
Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 reads, "But in the days of the voice of the seven minister spirit, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Yahweh shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants the seers."
Hallelujah. So one thing we do know, it was nothing declared to the Christians. It was nothing declared to Islamic, the Muslim. It was nothing declared to Jehovah Witness. They wouldn't declare anything. The one that know how this thing going to begin and end is, according to the Bible, the seer. So give me a precept on that in Amos 3, verse 7 now, Sister Judas. I need a precept on it just to make sure we understand this point. That if you want to know Yahweh's ending and the true understanding about Armageddon, Yahweh going to make it plain to Amos 3, verse 7. What did he say? Amos chapter 3, verse 7, Judas. What does it say for a precept?
Amos chapter 3, verse 7 reads.
Verse 7.
Amos chapter 3, verse 7 reads, surely the Yahweh will do nothing, but the revealeth, but he revealeth his secret unto the servants, the seers.
So if we want to understand exactly how this thing goes, then I behoove you to pay attention to the closing of Armageddon when the seventh angel pull out his bow. That means the mystery will be finished. Everybody be in place. And we find out that Yahweh, all he will need is 1 hour to get everything in place. And we're going to bring Mother E in. Well, Mother E came on stage and said, you know, I hollered that microphone pretty good last night. Guess what? I'm ready to go again. So Mother E, one of the most out of cap one. Yahweh be there, see you.
Yahweh bless you, still Israel. I see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, to have Mother E. Now, we know Mother Z is getting ready to give a commentary a little bit later. So she all at the desk getting the papers all spread out and pen ready. So we will get back with her a little later. So now, hey, Mother E, I want you to look at the future of this right here that's going to happen. Let's look at a verse in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1 and 17. And young line, Brother Titus had me that 39th chapter, like I said, 1 through 20 waiting on me. But I want to get another witness. But we can be clear. See, somebody has to know. Because when you see this thing that's jumping off, and you know, hey, wait a minute, that ain't the way it go. So, Mother E, we're going to look at a statement that in the 38th chapter, verse Ezekiel 38, and we're looking at verse number 17. We're going to Ezekiel 38, verse 1 and 17. See, we want to be clear that we got somebody. It's got to be a ministry know what the Bible is saying, because we're in the last days, and when any other organization come before you with your mouth going, we supposed to undone the Judges 5:11. By rehearsing the righteous act. And the righteous act, we got to know what it is. Ezekiel 38, verse 1 and 17. What's that, Marie?
Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1 and verse 17. Verse 1. And the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, 17. Thus said the Yahweh, are thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servant, the seer of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them.
So you see, the seer's job is to prophesy. He prophesied to the seers, getting them prepared on exactly how the closing of this thing going to be. See, it must be a ministry to start lining this thing up and knowing what's going on, knowing who will be doing the talking right now in these last days. It's the seer of Israel. And the seer of job knows he's supposed to get to the elders. And the elders know they supposed to get to the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers know they got to get to the father. And the father's got to get to the mother. And the mother's got to get to the children. See, this protocol must be drilled in the six anointed camp's head. Because who will be talking now is the order you just got through here. So now we're going to read what's going to happen when the seven angels close it out in Armageddon, and that means a final blow for the world that was foretold by the seer in every generation. We're going to Ezekiel chapter 39, y'all mind? And we're going to look at the 39th chapter, and we're going to enjoy some nice, powerful reading in Ezekiel 39, 1 down to verse 20. Brother Titus Israel, up and come and teach out of Cab 1. You on the clock, come on.
The book of Ezekiel the seer, chapter 39, verse 1 through 20. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 1 reads, therefore, you son of man, prophesy against God and say, thus said Yahweh, behold, I'm against you, O God, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Verse 2, I will turn you back and leave but the sixth part of you, and will cause you to come up from the north part, and will bring you upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 3, and I will smite your bow out of your left hand, and will cause your arrows to fall out of your right hand. Verse 4, you shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your band, and the people that is with you. I will give you unto the ravenous birds on every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Verse 5, you shall fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, said Yahweh. Verse 6, I will send a fire upon Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isle. They shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 7, so will I make my righteous name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my righteous pure name anymore. And the heathen nations shall know that I am Yahweh, the righteous one in Israel. Verse 8, behold, it is come, and it is done, said Yahweh. This is the day whereof I have spoken. Verse 9, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shield and the buckler, the bow and the arrow and the handstaff and the spear, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. Verse 10, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, but they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, said Yahweh. Verse 11, and they shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass in that day, and I will give unto God a place whereof grave in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury God, all his multitude, and they shall call it of him on God. Verse 12, in 7 months shall the nation, family of Israel, be buried of them, that they may cleanse the land. Verse 13, yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and this shall be to them a renown, the day that I should be honored, said Yahweh. Verse 14, and they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the pastors those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it after the end of 7 months, said they shall. Verse 15, and the pastors that pass through the land, when any seeth the man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it to the burier, have buried it in the valley of Hanangah. Verse 16, and also the name of the city shall be Hamanah, Thus should they cleanse the land. Verse 17. And you, son of man, thus said Yahweh, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourself and come gather yourselves from every side to the sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. Verse 18. You should eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of ram, of lamb, and of goat, of bullock, all of them fatly of Bashan. Verse 19. You should eat fat till you be full, and drink blood till you be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Verse 20. Thus should be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, with all men of war, said Yahweh.
Who's he telling a rebirth of 17 and 4 again, young lion? Who he telling that they going to be eating blood and doing all this dead folks eating? Who's he talking to according to verse 17 and verse 4? Come on there, young lion.
Ezekiel 39, verse 17. And you, son of man, thus said Yahweh, speak unto every fowl, every feather fowl, and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourself and come, guide yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. Verse 4, you shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your bands, and the people that is with you, and will give you unto the ravenous birds on every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured.
So he's making this promise to the birds, the fowls of the air. That means the reason why he's making this promise to the fowls of the air, there, young lion, because Yahweh, he never, like the air of the Lord, to bring that Yahweh never forget your labor or love. When you've done something for Yahweh, he is not going to forget it. That's the point. Man might forget, but Yahweh will never forget. Now, this promise is to the birds, the fowls of the air, about a great day that they're going to do some tall, long, blood eating. So let's go back and see where did the birds get this promise from. Let's go back to our young line. Let's go back to that 17th chapter of 1 Kings.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at 1 down to verse 6. Let's find out where, see, one thing about it, what we try to tell you, see, this is a double meaning. When you go all out for your Yahweh, don't think man might forget, woman might forget, but the Almighty will never forget. When you know you have done something by doing what he got written in his Bible. Now, he just got through reading that the birds going to have a great day of some serious eating. What did they do to deserve that? We go and find out in 1 Kings 17, 1 through 6. What did it say there? Young lion, come out.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Verse 1 to verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as Yahweh of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Verse 2. And the word of Yahuwah came unto him, saying, verse 3, get you hit, and turn you eastward, and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. Verse 4, and it shall be that you should drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of Yahuwah, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook.
You hear that, Marie? So one thing about it, when you are done your will in Yahuwah, Yahuwah is not going to forget your will. So you see, the fowls of the air done a good thing. They done some work for Yahuwah. They brought their seer. Read verse 4 and 6 again. 1 Kings 17, verse 4 and 6. And welcome again, our other mother dear of Israel. She said, look at there. I need a little bit more of that from last night. And don't worry, we already about an hour in, mother, and we got a lot going and a lot more on the way. Yahuwah be to that mother, D.F. Israel, C. Roy. Now, see, when you do what Yahuwah tell you to do, Yahuwah do not forget that, like he told his man, the seer, you do what I tell you to do because I have commanded the ravens, the birds, to feed you. Now let's read verse 17, chapter verse 6 and verse 4. One more time there, young lion. What it say there in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 6 and 4? What it say?
1 Kings chapter 17, verse 6 and verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 6 reads, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse 4, and it shall be that you should drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.
See, we got to believe in our Yahuwah. Because number one thing, see, that's the key. And that's why this ministry got to come. We got to wake up. We got to wake up and understand that only one will be talking in these days right here now is the six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelites. I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. So this is part two on this Armageddon. So now, let's go to the entire prophecy and read it. And, young line, we're going to the 19th chapter. We're going to bring it. Here it is, right here. See, whatever promise Yahuwah has promised for you, remember, his time is not like your time.
Right.
If he promised you something and you know you have done his work, you got it coming. Now, the birds was promised a great big dinner to eat all types of everything. They were promised that way back in 1 Kings 17. Yahuwah might have made a promise to Yahuwah, and you would say, well, what's taking it so long? No, Yahuwah ain't forget no promise that you are made, that he are made with you, showing you that he made a promise with the bird. Now here it is, an end time prophecy, y'all lying, getting ready to read it, in the 19th chapter, 11 down to verse 21. Let's talk about it, y'all lying, Brother Titus, come on.
The book of Revelation, end time prophecy, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 21. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 reads, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he do judge and make war. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13, he was clothed with a garment dipped in blood, in his name called the Word of Yahweh. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he teareth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty Yahweh. Verse 16, and he had on his vesture garment, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, and Yahweh of Yahweh. Verse 17, and I saw an angel, ministering spirit, standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that flies in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Yahweh. Verse 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their army gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his arm. Verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him a false shepherd, bishop, pastor, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Verse 21, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Yeah. So you see, if Yahweh made a promise to the birds for doing good to the seer, y'all brought him flesh and y'all kept him going until he was turned over to the next move he had to make. See, Yahweh promised them a great big eating. Now we just read they had a great supper, and now you see what they were eating. So when you do Yahweh's will, don't think that Yahweh have forgot anything. Matter of fact, I got to pull a rabbit out of here. Help me out there, Sister Judith. I need a precept on that right there. That sounds pretty good. I need a precept on that. Right there, I need a precept on that. See, that's one thing about it. The Bible will give you a small still voice will say, yeah, that sounds pretty good, Brother Phil. You might as well put a precept with that. Let's look at, Sister Judith, let's go to the 49th chapter of Isaiah. And we're going to look at verse number 14. No, let's make it sound good. Let's stick it at verse 13 down to verse 16, now, Sister Judith. We're going to Isaiah 49, 13 down to verse 16. Hey, Sister Judith, what that say there? Come on.
Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 to 16. Verse 13 reads, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Yahweh has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Verse 14 reads, but Yahweh Judah said, the Yahweh hath forsaken me, and my Yahweh hath forgotten me. Verse 15 reads, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Verse 16 reads, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me.
Hey, that's one. So you see, He said a woman might forget her suckling child. But he said, I'm telling you now, children of the book, children of Israel, I got you graven in the palm of my hand. And I'm not going to forget. Everything you own, I'm not going to forget it. Matter of fact, now let's get a precept on that. See, the game changes, Sister Judith. When you precept your Bible, you get all the apples. When you find another ministry that put a statement on tape and go precept it and prove it and back it up, that's when you know that's a sign of Yahweh working with that ministry. But when you talk a good game, don't worry about that, because that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Now let's precept that to the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, Sister Judith. Let's get a precept on that, on Yahweh saying, I'm not forgetting. If y'all got me right, I got you right. Understand that Yahweh is in the healing and the pain business. So when you got pain, give all credit to Yahweh. When you got your healing, give all credit to Yahweh. He run everything. So now he's talking to those seers, Jeremiah in 18 verse 1. We'll read till we get our point there, Sister Judas. Pick up 18 verse 1 of Jeremiah. And we'll read now, and Elder Mr. Till, tell me end time prophecy, Revelation chapter 14 down to verse 20, waiting on me, Elder Mr. Till. So now, we're going to find out that Yahweh always give an illustration on everything he do. So now, he going to get old Jeremiah attention and tell Jeremiah something. Let's read a little bit about it. So Judith 18, we'll keep reading till we get our point. Come on.
Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 reads, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Yahweh saying, verse 2, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. Verse 3 reads, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Verse 4 reads, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, and seemed good to the potter to make it. Verse 5 reads, then the word of the Yahweh came to me saying, verse 6, O house, family of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, said the Yahweh. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O family of Israel. Verse 7 reads, and at what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. Verse 8 reads, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I talk to do unto them.
Excellent. Right there. Well, you see, so what do he leave open for us to do? Repent. Once we find out that Yahweh, if he make a promise to you, what are you going to do? He said, now, just as the potter didn't like the vessel, the potter he had in his hand, he slammed that thing down and broke it and made another one that pleased him. He said, now you see how that potter was doing this clay making? You in my hand the same way, O children of Israel. If you do right, I'm with you. If you do wrong, I'm going to get you. It was Armageddon all about. But if you repent and come back to me the way this Bible is written, then you all right. So that is right there. He ain't forgot nothing. He'll take you through hard times to show you something that he already knows. When you not in the in crowd with the Yahweh's and you feel that you can come up another way, he always show you in more ways than one. So never forget, Yahweh is about his people, but the people he's about is the one that's Yahweh-ly minded. You got it? Good. So what it takes for you to have a rude awakening? Yahweh said turn to him, and he'll turn to you. That's what we're talking about. Now, Elder, we're going to the 14th chapter, and we want to get a second witness on Yahweh coming. Now, the reason why he said, tell all the fowls that wherever they are, come to Yahweh's great temple. Let's find out why he needs the birds. Remember, young lion read in the book of 39th chapter of Ezekiel that the children of Israel are going to have a study employment for 7 straight months, burying all the bodies that he have killed on Armageddon, Megiddo, Jehoshaphat, in the land of Israel. And last night lesson, when he gathered all the nations into one spot and brought their tail all up. So understand one thing. I don't care what you do with your family in this world. Make sure you got your Yahweh right. That's the game changer. Because everything he got written in his Bible, he going to fulfill it. And now the seer is revealing to you for the elders to have it plainly to get to the teacher. And the teacher's job is to get to the father. And the father's job is to get to the mother. And the mother's job is to get it to the children. That's the order of this thing. So it got to be a ministry understanding thing. And it is. And you're hearing it now. Revelation, End Time Prophecy, chapter 14:14-20. Elder McTill, come on with it. You on the clock, come on.
In the book of Revelations, chapter 14, reading 14 to verse number 20. 14 says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and up on the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. 15. And another minister spirit came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. 16. And he that sat upon the cloud thrust in his hand on the earth, and the earth was reaped. 17. And another minister spirit came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. 18. Another minister spirit came down from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had a sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. 19. And the other minister spirit thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of Yahweh. 20. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse riders, by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
Mm-hmm. So what he's saying? He said blood was running 200 miles. It was 200 miles of blood. So now you see why he got to have the birds to come and suck up that He said he's going to kill them. The blood is going to be up to the horse's bridle. And he's going to go for 200 miles. Now, that's some serious killing. But 200 miles. You know how far 200 miles is from, imagine 200 miles from where you at right now. Up to the horse's bridle. That's why he told the birds, come on down to the great steppe. And that's why it's taking 7 months for all of the children of Israel to bury them dead bodies. Because the children of Israel, they was, why did the children of Israel do that? Let's go to Revelation 21 there, Elder. We're going to look at Revelation 21. The children of Israel had an employment for 7 months. After the killing was over with, they had an employment of 7 months, according to Ezekiel 38. We read the earlier part of that. And they were barren bodies for 7 months. Now, what verse I just say here to go to where I get? Just slipped my mind that time.
Revelation, you said Revelation 21, but no verse.
Revelation 21. I guess Yahweh, I'm taking it from you. 21. What's in 21? Yeah, Dylan. What was in 21 that needs to be covered? Almighty taking that from me, said, now what's the deal? I don't know. About 21. Well, who got something to say about that? What was I talking about? See, it got away from those.
Dead bodies. Dead bodies.
Dead bodies. Oh, Mosey. Excellent. I'm talking about some dead bodies. Well, I don't know. It done got away from me now in the 21st chapter about these dead bodies. So I guess if he want me to, oh, yeah. Oh, thank you, Mosey. That's what I'm talking about. See, sooner or later, you want to recognize the signs of the timing. And the children of Israel are going to have a job because the children of Israel are going to be well. That's what I, okay. Thank you, Mosey. Go 21:14. At night, it came back to me with the help of Mother V. And said, that's what it's all about. Let's go to 21:14, Hilda, down to verse 16. Let's find out exactly why the children of Israel are going to have 7 months to bury bodies. 21:14 down to 16, come on.
The book of Revelations, chapter 21, reading 14 to 16. 14 says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. 16, and the city lieth four square, and the length as large as redder. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length of the breadth, and the height of it are equal.
Now back up to verse 12, Elder, and kind of give me a little more audio out there, boy, for the national order really is just what you're bringing to the table. Let's find out exactly in 12 and 13. Why so? Let's find out in 12 and 13, verse 12 and 13.
Revelation 21, reading 12 and 13. 12 says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 minister spirits, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 13. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates.
Ain't that something? So that means a whole world, no world after this beatdown will be ran by the children of Israel, not by the Latter-day Saints, not by the WCC, not by the Roman Catholic Church, not by Jehovah's Witnesses. When this thing is all said and done, the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, will be spread out north, east, south, west. And you know what? That was a prophecy. You know, that was a prophecy. Now, me now. Now, Mother, even if I was getting ready to take a look at this prophecy, that's big talk right there. So now, look, we are ready. We are stumbling into end-time prophecy. The children of Israel will be located north, east, south, west. See that? So if you're in any organization, a Christian organization, Islam, Judaism, you're going to have to answer to the 12 tribes of Israel, because they're going to be headquarters north, east, south, west. And they're going to be there not trembling. Let's get a precept on that, Harold. Let's go 225 to 29 of Revelation. Let's see if they're going to be trembling when Armageddon is final over with. 200 miles of blood. Them thousands eating up every clean up thing. 7 months, the children of Israel are going to be barren bodies that went against Yahuwah. Children of Israel are going to be north, east, south, west. It ain't no other organization will be in the picture unless you're upon the children of Israel, and you can't be upon the children of Israel unless you understand you came up out of the blood of the covenant. You can't bring a Christian mindset, Islamic mindset, Judaism mindset, Jehovah Witness mindset. It ain't gonna work. That's why the six and all the caps got to raise their level up and be prepared to teach the Bible. When they get north, east, south, west of this world, what kind of power will Yahuwah give them? And 225 to 29, Elder, give me a little more audio, Elder, for the national audience can really understand what we trying to bring. We ain't trying to sneak nothing past. We shall tell them what time it is, and we're going to deliver it according to thus says Yahuwah. 2:25-29, Elder Tills, come out.
Revelation chapter 2, reading 25-29. 25 says, "But that which ye have already hold fast till I come." 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. 27, "And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. 28, "And I will give him the morning star. 29, "And he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches."
What the Spirit said to the churches, huh? Give me a precept on that. Give me a precept on that in 17:1. Yeah, he said to the churches, all right, but we pull add a little bit more to that according to Exodus 17:1. What did he say here? Exodus 17:1. Let's find out about these churches that he said to the church. What church he said this to? In 17:1 of the book of Exodus.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 17, looking at verse number 1, it says, "And the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Yahweh. And pitched in. Mm-hmm.
So that's what church he's talking about. The whole congregation of the children of Israel. So that's the one he's talking about we read in the Revelation. And that's the church that's going to be having all the power to execute judgment with a rod of iron on all of the other nations that make it. They're going to come up on a one bond, one covenant, the children of Israel covenant. So that's why we know one thing, Mother E. Some changes got to come. Let's find out a little bit more, Mother E, in Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Find out what kind of changes got to be done. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Where's that, Mother E?
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 10.
Verse 1 and 2.
Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2.
Yes, ma'am. What that say in 1 and 2?
After these things, the Yahweh appointed other 7 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Yahweh of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
You see that, Mother? And that's one of the mother's prayers that she might put on the table. Send labels that ready to do his work, not just to fill up a seat or body. See, we got to understand one thing, Mother. We got to have labels to do this work, but they got to know how to do this work. Mm-hmm. And it's just not about bodies in the seat, because Yahweh talked about that, Mother, in Torah 22, verse 1. See, we have to remember, the harvest is plenty, and the labor is fruit. We're going to have to reach the harvest. But we got to wait until the one that's prepared to understand. And he says, send them out 2 by 2. What do you mean by 2 by 2?
Mm-hmm.
He sent them out by the teacher and the reader. Teacher and the reader. The teacher and the reader got to be bold. And that's how it's gonna happen. Teacher and the reader. You got to be a teacher and you got to have a reader to take care of Yahweh's business. And Yahweh will take it from there. But he says, you just can't be, you got to be, let's find what Yahweh is talking about, Mother. Let's read a little bit in Sirach 22. And we'll pick it up verse number 1. Because we got to, especially in leadership, the mothers, the elders, the teachers, you have to watch and see, do you spot this kind of person around you? This kind of person around you that mother getting ready to read. And Sirach 22, verse 1, we'll read a little bit. Let's read a little bit, Mother, and 22, verse 1. We got to keep our eyes keen open for what he told the seer to look out for, and 22, verse 1. Come on, Mother, let's read a little bit. Come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 22, verse 1. A slothful man is compared to a filthy stone, and everyone...
He's a slothful man. He compared to a dunghill. Otherwise, a slothful teacher, a slothful one that's in your midst. Yahweh said he compared them to a dunghill. Otherwise, he compared them to doo-doo. That's what he means. Meth. You see no growth in them. All you see in them is backbiting, murmuring, complaining, and no growth. Everything dumbfound there. When you see these kind of people in your presence, then you have to make a difference according to this Bible. See, Yahweh is telling you these ain't the kind of people that you're going to get his business taken care of with. It is nothing personal. This is Yahweh's business. But if you find a person, they still can't go in the Bible and take care of business. Mm-hmm. How long you say you've been in this ministry? And you still can't precept your Bible? What's wrong? What is going on with you? So you got to recognize lawful people. Because this is a big job. We try to get, we're rehearsing the righteous act for the big job of the school, land, banquet hall, radio station. So we got to have people that's prepared to do the job. So he's telling you, be watching out for these slothful. A slothful man compared to a filthy stone. You know what a filthy stone is? That's a stone that got doo-doo on top of it.
Oh, boy.
What are you talking about? Read a little bit more, Mother.
Verse 2. A slothful man is compared to the filthy of a dungeon.
A dunghill is what our fathers and mothers had in the South. They had what's called an outhouse. They had, that the regular house, but when it's time to go and release yourself, you have to walk about a nice pace to a little wooden house.
Check.
That had a toilet on top of it and a big hole dug.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you fill that hole up, you move your house and put it in another open part of the ground. So you see, this is what Yahweh comparing the people that you see haven't grown nowhere. And every time you hear a mouth, it's always murmuring, backbiting, and complaining. What Yahweh got written is what's going to be. That's why our time going to run out. Armageddon, we're in the last days. We read what Yahweh going to do. Once the seventh angel busts them heads, he got a promise made to the birds to eat up some stuff. He got children of Israel. If you make it, you're going to rule with a rod of iron, and you'll be located in four corners of the world. The world's got four corners, north, east, south, and west, and you will be the one running this thing. So you got to make sure you prepare, and you see somebody slothful among you, they can't get right. Every time their mouth go, it's backbiting, murmuring, complaining. Yahweh talking about that right now. He compared them to a outhouse. That what a dunghill called, and the South would call an outhouse. Where's the outhouse at? You know, it's a go out the door here. Out of the back door, and you walk down a little. Ain't no light in there. It's a wooden house way back there. You go way back there, and you come on back. You see that? That's what Yahweh is comparing these slothful ones that want to be always murmuring, complaining, backbite. Saying it like a dunghill. Read verse 2 again, Mother.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes chapter 22, verse 2. A slothful man is compared to the filthy of a dining hill. Every man that taketh it up will shake his head. His hand.
Yeah. Every man take it up, you shake his hand, you know? Because you know when you move that thing, you'll get some that doo-doo on you. You see?
Oh, boy.
You got to move that thing from one thing. You ain't going to shake his hand. He always going to shake his hand when you get to moving that thing around. You got to come outside and pick that thing up and dig another hole and put that thing back. And he compares people to this. People, remember children of Israel, you have to have a paddle. And he said, when it's time to ease yourself, you go out from the camp and dig a hole and cover it up. Because I walk in the midst of thee and I won't see no uncleanness around you. I won't step in that stuff. I'm just trying to tell you. Y'all have to watch those that still dragging their feet. You never want to talk scripture, but always ready to backbite mama and complain. Yahweh compares them to a dunghill. Because you got too much on the table, it's an outhouse. The word might be better suited for you call it outhouse. You ask your grandmother or somebody of age, what is the outhouse? And they'll point, look out the window. He said, thing way back there, that's the outhouse. Go on in and ease yourself. Okay. Now let's get a precept on that, mother. Let's go to Ezra 6:11. Let's see what Yahweh thinks about that outhouse. See, remember, when you precept your Bible, sometimes you got to go get some little cue cards. You got a little card that come in, or you take a little sheet of paper, and you make a little box on it. And you write down precepts. You might write down Sirach 22:1-2. Then you put the word called precept and see what the precept to that. You write down Ezra 6:11. Then you on your card, then you precept that. Then you might look out the window and catch your neighbor. Say, hey neighbor, what you calling me for? Come on over here, let me do some precepting with you. Let me rehearse the righteous act with you. See, you got to pick your card and rehearse the righteous act. Because Yahweh is saying you got to precept your Bible. Now this outhouse, he compares people to. But let's see what the final verdict is on it in Ezra chapter 6, verse 11. What is that, mother?
The book of Ezra, chapter 6, verse 11. Also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let the timber be pulled down from his house and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill.
Yeah, Mo. You see the precept? Now, when you read a precept, see, you take a little card or a sheet of paper, and you fold it up in like four spots, and you cut out little cue cards, they call it cue cards or whatever, and you put down Sirach 22:1-2 on your cue card and Ezra 6:11. He compares people to this. If you don't see no growth in them, and when you do hear their mouth always rambling around trying to change what Yahweh got written in the Bible. You ain't going to change what Yahweh got written. We in the last days. That's why this message is coming furious and more, but we trying to wake up the six and on the camp. It's time for you to understand you got to teach this thing. You got to be able to put out your cue card. And when you read Sirach 22:1-2, you had to put the word called precept on it. Ezekiel 6:11. The outcome of it. And you study that card. So when it come up, you know what to do with it. Precept your Bible, that's how you get understanding. See? So when we understand this good stuff, Yahweh is going to take care of some good business. Now, y'all lying. Let's look at Sarah. We're looking at, we're going to look at something over here in Sarah. Before we go to Sarat, I want to set the stage to get to Sarat there. You know what I'm
saying?
Let's even get the stage. See, that's why we said we have to watch everything. Because in Isaiah 42, can you help me out in 18 down to verse 21? What it says in Isaiah 42, listen real good. 18 down to verse 21. What's there? Y'all lying. Brother Titus, come on.
The book of Isaiah the seer. Chapter 42. Verse 18 to 21. Isaiah the seer, chapter 42. Verse 18 read. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Verse 19. Who is blind but my servant, O deaf, as my messenger that I sent, who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as Yahweh's servant. Verse 19. Verse 20 reads, seeing many things, but you observe it not. Open the ear, but ye hear it not. Verse 21. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable.
See what he say? Yahweh is going to magnify the law and make it honorable. He going to magnify his law. His law is not done away with. He going to magnify his law. He's telling Isaiah in 700 B.C., he going to magnify his law and make it honorable. So understand one thing, when you are around the industry and the people that is not on the right track, you gotta let them know that Yahweh gonna magnify this law. This law, he gonna magnify this law. If you're not doing the law, the man gonna do you some damage. That's what he's saying. So now in Second Ezra there, young line, can you help those see out in 9:36 and 37? What it says in Second Ezra, chapter 9:36 and 37. What it say?
We're going to Second Ezra to see it. Chapter 9, verse 36 and 37. Second Ezra, the seer, chapter 9, verse 36 reads, for we that have received the law perish by sin, and our mind also which receive it. Verse 37, notwithstanding the law perish not, for remaining in its force.
The law remains. The law is going to remain. So you got to tell the peoples about the law. You got to tell your grandbabies. Listen, grandbaby. Listen, my child. You got to keep the law. So Psalm 39:15-25 there, young lion. So right, 39:15-25. And, Mother E. L. Me, Psalms 69, verse 30 to 33. Waiting on me, Mother E. Psalms 69, verse 30 to 33. Have that waiting on me. Come on in, young lion.
The book of Sirach, the seer, chapter 39, verse 15 to 25. Sirach 39, verse 15. Read. magnify his name, and show forth his praise with song. For our lips and with heart, in praising him, you should say after this matter. Verse 16, all the works of Yahweh are exceedingly good, and whatsoever he commanded should be accomplished in due season. Verse 17, and none may say, what is this? Wherefore is that? For at time convenient, they should all be sought out. In his commandment, the water stood as in heat, and at the word of his mouth, a receptacle of water. Verse 19, and his commandment is done whatsoever pleases him, and none can hinder when he will say. Verse 19, the works of all flesh are before him, and nothing can be hid from his eye. Verse 20, he seeth from everlasting to everlasting, and there is nothing wonderful before him. Verse 21, and man's need not to say, what is this? Wherefore is that? For he had made all things for their use. Verse 22, his blessing covered the dry land as a river and watered it as a flood. 23, as he had turned the water into saltness, so should the heathen nation inherit his wrath. Verse 24, as his ways are plain unto the righteous, so are they stumbling blocks unto the wicked. Verse 25, for the good are good things created from the beginning, so evil things were sinners.
Yes. Read verse 24 again. Young lion, listen real carefully at verse 24. Listen good at verse 24.
Sirach chapter 39, verse 24. As his ways are plain unto the right, so are they stumbling blocks unto the wicked.
You see that? And see, that's why you see when you start catching peoples that sit among you, but they always, you read what the Bible is telling you, what the Bible says, but it's not plain to them. Then you know what kind of they got on them. But to the righteous, it's plain. Then what the Bible say, this is what it says, this is what we're going to do. But then you got the wicked to say, they'll come up another way. No, you don't do that. So that's why you got to recognize people from the places, from the pages of the book. The righteous will hear the word plainly and add on to it and keep it moving. The wicked come back by murmur and complain. And on your cue card, you got the little card is showing you that's a sloth of person. All it good for is a dunghill, an outhouse. Huh? So you got to recognize Yahweh is telling you that the harvest is plenty, but the labors is few. Send the labors that gonna do the work. And let's get this thing on, because this thing gonna be it's gonna be unfold, revealed, exactly what we supposed to be doing. We got to recognize that my closest little one is just like a sloth of person. The more you talk to them, the worse they get. And he don't told you what they're good for then. Huh? I mean, the lady you want to believe, look, you were created to tell this story. You got to tell it the way the Bible is and stand on it. Psalm 69, 39, verse 33, Mother E. What is that there, Mother? Psalm 69, verse 30, down to verse 33. Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse 30 to 33. Verse 30. I will praise the name of Yahweh of the throne, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. 31. This also shall please the Yahweh better than an ox or bullock that has horn and hoof. 32. The armor shall see this and be glad, and your mind shall live that seeketh Yahweh. 33. For the Yahweh has heard the poor.
Hear it.
What?
Yeah.
But
Yahweh heard the poor.
The poor. And despise not his praise, his prisoner.
And despise not his praise. So before we always end up giving a do-wop on Yahweh's name, and his mercy endure forever. You go put that in a song around the grandbabies, around your friends. Go sing about his name. Yahweh likes that. He likes to hear his name talked about. Them four letters. 147 verse 1 there, mother. What it says in Psalms 147 verse 1? Mother Eve, 147 verse 1 of Psalm, what it say?
Psalms 147 verse 1. Okay. Psalms 147 verse 1 reads, praise ye Yahweh, for it is good. Sing praise unto our Yahweh, for it is pleasant. And praise is commonly.
Verse 2.
The Yahweh do build up Yahweh Judah. He gathers together the outcast of Israel.
Yahweh.
You see that? So we have to don't shy away from his name in the company of others. We got to praise that mighty name, that YHWH mighty name, because the harvest is plenty. Because let me tell you something. We got to, hey, mother, give me that 13th chapter. Give me the 13th chapter. And remember, it was prophesied that the children of Israel, when it's all said and done, will be north, east, south, and west. Yes. That's the way the creation is. The children of Israel will be north, south, east, and west. It was promised to our forefathers. Let's read a bit about it, Mother Eve. We're going to Genesis 13, verse 14 down to verse 17. We're going to read a little bit about it, Mother. Genesis chapter 13, 14 to 17. Come on.
Book of Genesis. Chapter 13, verses 14 to 17. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. The Yahweh said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. 15. Okay. So, I'm reading this right. Genesis. Okay. Mm-hmm. 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to the seed of forever. 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. 17. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee.
See that? So you see that? Give me Genesis 24, verse 60, mother. So you see that? And Sister Judith had me Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, 8 through 11. Then go right over to 2 Samuel 24, verse 3. Had that waiting on me, Sister Judith. So now, mother, that's why we pray for send the labels in, but the labels got to be, they got to be right. They got to be right in Yahuwah, for Yahuwah to give them blessings. That's not a bunch of bodies, because the children of Israel are going to be north, east, south, and west. We got a big job to try to cover, and we can't cover with somebody because they are a member of the Six Anointed Council and they slothful. They can't precept the Bible. They ain't singing no songs to Yahuwah to tell about the name. We got to recognize that spirit. This is a big job coming ahead of us, because children of Israel was prophesied to be what, mother, in 24 verse 60? 24 verse 60, what do you read in Genesis?
Genesis 24 verse 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thus are our sister. Be thus the mother of thousands or millions. And that thy
thousand or million. So how in the world the Six Anointed Camps going to cover thousands or millions? And we got a sloth of spirit. We're not tightened up on our backstroke on Yahuwah. Thousands or millions. We got a whole lot of work to do. So we got to watch the walk that's slothful and putting time off and backbite, murmuring, complaining, and look at them as an outhouse down in the south. You compare it to an outhouse down in the south.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And if any get on your hand, you want to get it off it. And that's how you got to look at a person that's slothful in his job that got to be done now. This is the ministry to do it. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station. But we got to produce those that don't have a sloth spirit. And I keep telling you, all we got to do is go get some little cue cards and start writing precepts on your cue cards. And we want to start with Sirach 1 and 2. And then we look at the precept, or it was 611. And on that one card, you study that one card. If that come up, you got the precept with it. This is how you start building up a relationship with Yahuwah, because he demands us to precept the Bible. That's how you get understanding. That's why we know when Armageddon hit, children of Israel got to know what full being done to be saved. Oh, they're going to be in the dung here, too. And you got a family member that want to drag their feet, got to let them drag their feet. You better try to get to the kingdom, because remember, Mother read last night, less than the 14th chapter of Ezekiel 14:9-21. You only can save yourself. You can't save nobody but yourself. So we got to get this day right to get our well done. James 5:20. And Matthew 25:21, well done, my good and faithful servant. That means a lot of our loved ones going to be pushed off into the dunghill. But you saved your soul. That's all you can save anyway. Now, Sister Judith, we're going to look at a statement. And Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, just get down to 8 through 11. Then go right on over to 2 Samuel 24, verse 3. Says, Judith, you on the clock. Come out.
Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, then verse 8 to 11. Verse 1 reads, These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between
Pardon? Karen and Topel and Lavin
and
Hezekiah and
that's good. Skip down to verse 8. So these words are spoken to all Israel, all 12 tribes. What are you telling all 12 tribes, 8 down to verse 11? What are you telling them now, Sister Judith?
Verse 8 reads, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Yahweh swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Verse 9, and I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. Verse 10 reads, the Yahweh, your Yahweh, have multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven of multitude. Verse 11 reads, the Yahweh, Yahweh of your fathers, make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he has promised you.
Mm-hmm. 1,000 times more. 2 Samuel 24:3.
2 Samuel 24:3 reads, and Joab said unto the king, now the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, add unto the people, how many soever they be, and hundredfold, and that the eyes of my Yahweh, the king, may see it. But why do it, my Yahweh?
So he made the children of Israel 100-fold. This is a big job ahead of us. We got to start seeing growth. You know, we got to start seeing growth in the ministry of those that really understand. You got to get some cue cards. You got to start precepting this Bible. And Yahweh going to come in and give you the rest of them. All we got to do is make a bunch of little cue cards and start putting precepts in there and eliminate all that out of time. Because the big job that's headed for us. Let's go to Judas chapter 5 there, Officer Judas. We're going to Judas chapter 5 out of the red book, 18 down to verse 22. Let's see what's going on, 18 down to verse 22. Judas chapter 5, 18 to 22. I was talking to a member of the camp, and they said, well, we still having problems on our precepts. I said, well, look, get some cue cards. And fold little cue cards and just start putting your precepts on your cue cards and study them. Put that 26:40 in. Put that hour in on just precept in the Bible. Then Yahweh going to give you the increase. But we got the game changers when you precept the Bible. That means you're getting the answer to the question in another verse. But that's where your cue cards will come in. Because you got a bunch of notes all over the place, you might, but you start with the cue cards. Get some cue cards and get your little index cards and just put in the right 22, 1 and 2. What's the precept of that? EZRA 611. Oh. And you look at that one cue card. Then Yahweh, he starts giving you all the increase. Because the label, the harvest is plenty. You know, we got to reach the known world. How are we going to reach the world with the sloth of spirit that we have now in the sixth anointing camp? We got to step it up. Especially the ones in leadership, you got to be prepared to watch those that's among you that ain't doing nothing but dragging their feet and murmuring, backbiting, and complaining. And look at them as you moving an outhouse from one place to the next. When you move an outhouse, you know immediately you go and wash your hands. Because you're going to get that doo-doo all over your hands. And that's what he's trying to tell you about some sloppy members. When you see a member ain't going nowhere, they can't get past backbiting, murmuring, complaining, look at them as an outhouse. And work with the one they want to be worked with. Chapter 5, 18, 9, verse 22, what it say?
Judah, chapter 5, verses 18 to 22. Verse 18 reads, but when they departed from the way which he appointed them, they were destroyed in many battles, very sore, and were led captives into a land that was not theirs. And the temple of their Yahweh was cast to the ground, and their cities were taken by the enemy. Verse 19 reads, but now are they returned to their Yahweh and are come up from the places where they were scattered, and have possessed Yada Judah, where their sanctuary is, and are seated in the hill country, for it was Verse 20 reads, now therefore, my Yahweh and governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their Yahweh, let us consider that this shall be their ruin. And let us go up, and we shall overcome them. Verse 21 reads, but if there be no sin in their nation, let my Yahweh now pass by, lest their Yahweh defend them, and their Yahweh be for them, and we become a reproach before all the world. Verse 22 reads, and when Achan had finished these sayings, all the people standing around about the tent murmured, and the chief men of and all that dwelt by the sea side in a mod spec that he should kill them.
You see that? And that's how they're going to look at you once you start delivering this word the way you're supposed to deliver this word. Young Lion, let's go to Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to verse 5 through 10. See, it's a big job ahead of us, and we got to step it up. We got to step this thing up in Yahweh, because Yahweh got some things on the table, and we got to recognize anything that's contrary to his Bible, by the Bible. Deuteronomy 4, 1, 2, 5 through 10. Young Lion, bring it. Come on.
The fifth book of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Skip down verse 5 through 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 reads, now therefore, hearken, listen, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments, which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land, which Yahweh of your fathers giveth you. Verse 2, you should not add unto the word which I command you, neither should you diminish off from it, that you may keep the commandment of Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you. Skip down verse 5. Read. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my Yahweh, commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess. Verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great, had Yahweh so near unto them, as Yahweh, our Yahweh, is in all things that we call upon him for? Verse 8, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?
See, we got all these laws before. Nehemiah chapter 9. Pick up verse 6, 7, 12 out of verse 20. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, 7. You're on line 12 out of verse 20. Come on.
I'm going to the book of Nehemiah, the seer, chapter 9. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, 12 to 20. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6 reads, "You, even you, are Yahweh alone. You have made heaven and the heaven of heaven, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the sea and all that is therein, that you preservest them all, and the hosts of heaven worship you." Verse 7. "You are Yahweh, who did choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of Chaldeans and gave him the name of Abraham." Verse 8. "And founded..."
Verse 12. 12.
Verse 12.
Get out of verse 12 out of verse 20.
Verse 12 to 20. "Moreover, you led us them in the day by a cowardly pillar, in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go." Verse 13. "You came us down also upon Mount Sinai and spake it with them from heaven, and give us them right judgment and true law, good statutes and commandments." Verse 14. "Is made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, commanded them precepts, statutes, and law by the hand of Moses, your servant." Verse 15. "It giveth them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them." Verse 16. "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their neck, and hardened not your command." Verse 17. "And refused to obey, neither were mindful of your wonders that you did among them, by hardening their neck in their rebellion, appointed a captive to return to their bondage. But you are Yahweh, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, forsookest them not." Verse 18, "Gate, when they had made them a molten calf, it said, this is your Yahweh that brought you up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocation." Verse 19, "Yet you and your manifold mercy forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud depart not from them by the day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go." Verse 20. "You gave us also your good spirit to instruct them, and withheld us not manna from their mouth, and giveth them water for their thirst."
Mm-hmm. Read verse 20 again.
Nehemiah 17 and 14.
But hold on a minute. What did he do? See, when you do right with Yahweh, what did he do in verse 20, 17, and 14? Listen real good. Take your time to look at this verse 20, 17, and 14. One more time. Listen real good. What did he say? Come on.
The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. Verse 20, 17 and 14. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20. "You gave us also your good spirit to instruct them, and withheld us not your manna from their mouth, and givest them water for their thirst." Verse 17 reads, "And refused to obey, neither were mindful of your wonders that you did us among them, by hardening their neck, and their rebellious appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But you are Yahweh, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, forsookest them not." Verse 14. and made known unto them your righteous status, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant.
You see that?
He commanded us precepts. This
Yahuwah.
Is a commandment from Yahuwah. In fact, when you're like a man on your job, your boss man on your job said, well, this is your job and here your timeline is. You understand that? Do you understand Yahuwah have commanded us to precept this Bible? This is a commandment. It's not nothing on the uppity-uppity. When you get right with Yahuwah and you all in with Yahuwah, you understand one thing. Yahuwah said what in 9:14 again? What he said in 9:14?
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14. It made it known unto them your righteous status. It commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws.
And commanded them precepts. This is a order. This is a game changer when you reach the other nations. See, everybody can read the Bible, but the game changer, he's not going to lie everybody the precept. And that's when you're going to know that that is a Yahuwah man or woman, because he's going to give you the tools to precept, which is commandment, and that's going to be the game changer once we spread like a Green Bay tree. What we're going to bring to the table is the precept. Let's go to Matthew 5:17 there, young line. We'll keep reading till we get our point. We're going to Matthew 5:17 down to verse 22. What does it say?
All right, we're going to the book of Matthew. I mean, continuation of writing. Matthew 5:17. Read. Think not that I come to destroy the law or to see it. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 18. But truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one little shall in no wise pass from the law, shall all be fulfilled. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach man, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever should do and teach them, the same should be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, you should not kill, and whosoever should kill should be in danger of judgment. Verse 22, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause should be in danger of judgment. Whosoever should say to his brother, Raka, should be in danger of counsel. For whosoever say, you fool, to be in danger of hell fire.
Yeah, that rocker and fool is an interchangeable word. You got people just mad at the Sixth Anointed Camp because we read the Bible. We ain't done nothing to you but read the Bible to you. And you got them backbiting, murmuring, complaining all over the known world about the Sixth Anointed Camp. And we ain't got started right yet because we still getting in order. So when you have to recognize these spirits, and you hating the Sixth Anointed Camp, say, I'm done nothing to you but read the Bible. But see, we got a commission to read this Bible, but we're telling you how I got to go. We got to give some cue cards. Right on the cue cards, precepts, like little flash cards. Write the precept down on there. Start rehearsing these things. It's a big job ahead of us. Because Yahuwah ain't came to change no law. He told you in Nehemiah 9:14, it's a commandment to precept your Bible. What he's setting up? He's going to show the game says exactly who will be doing his business in the last days. And that's bosses of the true Israelites. So we got to step our game up by getting some the cue cards and just write on two precepts on it. As many as you can and rehearse them. Have one cue card with you. Oh, this go with that. This go with that. Oh, this go with that. That's all we got to do. You got a bunch of notes all over the place. You ain't going to get nowhere. Your cue card will get you started. And Yahweh will kick in after that. Go to Acts chapter 3, 18 out of verse 21, young line. What it reads in Acts chapter 3, verse 18 out of verse 21, what it reads. Acts 3, 18 and 21, come on.
Go on to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 18 reads, but those things which Yahweh before has showed by the mouth of all his seers, that Yahweh the Son should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing should come from the presence of Yahweh. Verse 20, and he said, Yahweh the Son, which before was taught unto you. Verse 21, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of all his righteous seers, since the world began.
Is that? So he told his righteous seers, he spoke by their mouth. Telling you, the next move is getting the world that up on the banner Yahweh prepared for Armageddon. Yahweh is going to do some big things on Armageddon because he's going to close this thing out. He's going to take care of all the wicked. And if you ain't prepared to know what to do or help anybody prepare themselves what to do, then why should he save you?
Mm-hmm.
You've been chosen to be prepared for this thing. So we have to be able to show these scriptures to them and show them the precept answer to them. If you catch somebody got it's lawful and all over the place, that's what Yahweh do not like. This thing's coming to a close. We're going to bring Mother Z in and get a commentary on Mother Z. And Mother E, have me Proverbs chapter 6 waiting on me, Mother Z. Mother E, have that waiting on me. We're gonna look for Mother Z now to bring her in and get a commentary on tape number 50 or whatever Almighty put on her to talk to this national audience over 900,000 strong. So, Mother Z, y'all quite been to that scene, right?
Yahweh bless and keep you, seer Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother. Well, we got it. We got the path for you to do what you do best and address this national audience. And so whatever Yahweh put on you to tell them, take your time and Mother D up Israel, you make it on the clock. And whatever Yahweh put on you there, Mother D up Israel, because we know one thing, you had a pretty good enjoyment of lesson last night. And we're going to find out exactly how you feel about the lesson on the second part of Armageddon. So, Mother Z, take the time to address the national audience. You're on the clock. Come on.
I'm going to read in Romans chapter 6 about the law and sin. I'm just going to skip because it's a lot in verse 6 about the law. So I'm going to skip down some. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That's Romans chapter 6, verse 1. That grace may abide. Verse 2. Yahweh forbid. How Yahweh forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3. Know ye not that some may, so many of us as was baptized unto Yahweh the Son was baptized unto his death. And I'm going to skip on down to verse 15. What then shall we say? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. Yahweh forbid. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself service, yourself service to obey his servant, E are to whom ye obey. What of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? Verse 17. But Yahweh being thankful that ye were the servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from the mind from a doctrine which were delivered you. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, yea, became the servant of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak after the members of the manners of man because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your member self servant to uncleanness and to iniquity even so now yield your member service to righteousness unto righteousness. Verse 20. For when we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What truth has he then in those things? Wherefore ye are now ashamed of the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruit unto righteousness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through Yahweh the Son. Through Yahweh the Son, Abba Yahweh. I said I was going to read about the law, but that is about sin. Sorry. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was excellent, Moses. We got the point and grassed out. Because Yahweh is in control. That's the bottom line. Now, Mother dear Israel, we know you on stuck you a couple of hours and plus on some notes, and we know you have something to say out of take number 50. So first of all, Mother dear of Israel, Yahweh be to that seed right.
Yahweh bless you, dear Israel of Sea Royal. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We hear you. We hear you loud and plain. Yeah, what you got to say and what part you want to address this national audience on what you, the ninth blessing or whatever you want to tell them, Mother D of Israel. Take your time and bring it on. Come on.
Okay. I want to say I am enjoying the lesson, and I thank Yahweh that I'm able to listen in, and and Yahweh giving me some understanding. What I want to read to bring back to from earlier the Revelation chapter 2 verses 29 and reads, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the 12 tribes of Israel. So a lot's been said, and you have to take heed, and you have to be obedient to the word of Yahweh. He's telling them, listen to the Spirit and what is he addressing the whole congregation, 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. That's right, Mother. Exactly. That's the addressing, the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's why we have to be prepared to understand this thing. It got to be told. You know, everybody try to be part of something. Yeah, but you got to know how to come into part of something. So you cannot be no all over the place. And Mother, hey, let's look at that Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 through 19, the closing statement there, Mother. Let's look at Proverbs 9 down to verse number 19. Well, I tell you what, just give me half of it. Give me Proverbs chapter 6. Take it down to verse number 13, and we'll have Sister Judas finish up on 14 to 19. Let's see what it says, Mother, in the closing statement. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 down to verse 13. Mother E, you on the clock, come on. Proverbs 6, 9 through 13, come on.
Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of sleep? Verse 10. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. Verse 11. So shall thou probably come as one that travailed, and they went as an armed man. Verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth. 13. He waggeth with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you catch them old wicked, mother. No doubt about it. Remember one thing, he's back on tomorrow on Pale Talk at 8 o'clock on Pale Talk. 8 until the young lions get tired of putting that word out. He's back on his broadcast again Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So, mother, go ahead and address these national audience and let them know they got to hold on, but they got to step it up. They cannot be slothful. And how long are you going to be slothful and sleep? It's time to wake up and get right in Yahuwah. What you got to say about that, mother, even the closing statement? Come on.
Thank and praising Yahuwah for the class. Thank and praising Yahuwah for the word. Thank and praising Yahuwah to be in the class. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah,
Yahuwah.
Hallelujah,
Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. And mother, he said plainly, hold on. Your help is here in the voice number two is life. We can help you, but you have to get away from that wicked tail spirit you got and submit to anointed leadership. Because we can get you there. Now, Sister Judas, pick you up at verse 14 down to verse 19, the closing statement of Judas. Proverbs 6, 14 down to verse 19, the closing statement of Judas. You on the clock, come out.
Proverbs chapter 6, verses 14 to 19. Verse 14 reads, forwardness is in his mind. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Verse 15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Verse 16 reads, these six things doeth the Yahuwah hate. Doth the Yahuwah hate? These seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17 reads, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18 reads, and mind that deceiveth wicked, imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Verse 19 reads, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Mm-hmm. Discord. He said he don't like the one that always try to call somebody off inside. So on discord, always got a slothful spirit. He said he don't like that spirit. He said that's an abomination to him. See, that's just like a dunghill or outhouse in his mindset. You got to keep that in mind. Sister Judas, until Wednesday night on this broadcast, hold the state and take your time. Come on, you're on the clock. Come on.
I'm coming from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Verse 1 reads, let not your mind be troubled. Ye believe in Yahuwah, believe also in me. Verse 2 reads, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3 reads, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4 reads, and whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Verse 5 reads, Thomas saith unto him, Yahuwah, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6 reads, Yahuwah the Son said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7 reads, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That's excellent, Judas. That's excellent on your part. So, you see, the harvest is plenty, but the labels is true. But like I said, again, we got to understand what Yahweh has set up and what kind of labels he's looking for, and you have to make sure you identify that right off the gate. Now, young lion, Brother Titus, we take a look at a couple of things in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3. Let's find out. See, we got to be keen eyes on things, because everybody passing out brochures and all type of literature here and literature there. But you have to understand something with your cue cards. You got to look at this 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3. What it say, y'all lying?
Going to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 3 reads, "Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true Yahweh and without a teaching, preached, and without law."
You see, and for a long time, we've been without teachers from the tribe of Judah. For a long time, we've been in Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Jehovah Witness. We've been all over the place for a long time. Let's precept that down to Isaiah 30, verse 19 down to verse 26 there, young lion. Now, okay, before you read that, but back up and give me 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1, and we read 7, and we read down a little bit. See, listen, especially if this is on account, get them little 3x5 cards or cups and paper, you know, and put precepts on your little cards. Put what we get ready to read, like 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3. You write that down. And on the same card you put down, pick the same card you put in, 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1, and skip down to 7. We read a little bit. And that be on that little cue card. Then you look at them two cards and you watch the precepts. Then once you make the effort to do it, Yahweh going to kick in and give you the increase. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1, skip down to 7 and read a little bit. Come on there, young lion.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 1. Skip down verse 7. 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. Verse 7. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent his princes, even to Ben-Hadad and to Obadiah and to Zechariah and to Nathaniel and to Micah and to teach in the cities of Judah. Verse 8. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah and Nethaniah and Zebadiah and Azahel and Shemiramoth and Jonathan and Adonijah and Tobijah and Tobinajah, Levi, and within them, Elishama and Jehoram, priest, verse 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of Yahweh with them and went about through all the cities of Judah, Yada, and taught the people. Verse 10.
You see that? That's it right there. See what he did? So when the seer and the king got together, they got the brothers together to go out through all Judah and teach them the law. See, so that's what we got to do. We got to get brothers and sisters prepared to go and teach the law. You see what he did? See, he got in contact with the seer, and the seer told him exactly what to do. Organize the people, and let's get what God do? He's not worried about a bunch of numbers. We got to teach the people not where they're going or where they've been. We got to teach them the law. The law. This is what we got to teach the people. The law. What Yahweh saying, what he ain't saying. Let's go to Isaiah 30, verse 19 down to verse 26 there, young man. What does it say? Isaiah 30, 19 to 26.
Go into the book Isaiah to see it. Chapter 30, verse 19 to 26. Isaiah to see it, chapter 30, verse 19 reads, "For the people shall dwell in Yada Judah. At Judah, you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you." Verse 20. "And though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner eating more, but your eyes shall see your teachers." Verse 21. "And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." Verse 22. "You defile also your covering of your graven image of silver and the ornament of your molten images of gold. You should cast them away as the minister's cloth. You should say to it, get you hit." Verse 23. "Then shall he give the rain of your seed, that you should sow the ground withal, the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. And that day shall your cattle feed in large pastures." Verse 24. "The oxen likewise, and the young asses, that year the ground shall eat clean provender, which had been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan." Verse 25. "And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers, streams of water in the day of great slaughter, when the towers fall. Verse 26. "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that Yahweh bind up the breach of his people and heal the stroke of their womb."
Verse 23.
"Then shall he give the rain of your seed, that you shall sow the ground withal, the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall your cattle feed in large pastures."
You see that? Give me Revelation 2, 4 down to verse 7. So you see the man saying, once you understand, you get on your job fixing on the count. Get the little cue card, put your precepts together on the card, study it, do your 2640 of the book of Matthew, put your hour in on your little cue card. Be prepared to help. Then Yahweh will give you the rain on your crop. He going to kick in. Once you kick in, he going to kick in. Revelation chapter 2, 4 down to verse 7. What it say, young line?
The book of Revelation, end time prophecy. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 reads, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love." Verse 5. "Remember therefore which you are fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent." Verse 6. "For this you had, and you hated the deed, Machalinus, which I also hate." Verse 7. "He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has said unto the church, the congregation of the children of Israel."
You see what I'm saying? You got to return back to your first love and repent. Give me Jeremiah 36, verse 1. Then Numbers 15, 37 through 40, and closing statement. We'll catch you on the big station. And pay off talk room tomorrow, 8 o'clock there, young man. Give me Jeremiah 36, verse 1. Then go to Numbers 15, 37 down to verse 40. And a closing statement there, young lion, excellent on your part too. And the mother, excellent. Come on.
The book of Jeremiah the seer, chapter 36, verse 1. Jeremiah the seer, chapter 36, verse 1 reads, and it came to pass in the fourth year, that Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Yada Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying.
Verse 2
reads, take you a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken you.
You hear that? He says, take the words that I have spoken to you in the book. What's in that book? Numbers 15, 37 through 40, a closing statement. What's in the book there, a young lion? It's Jeremiah. Get in that book. And let them people hear this book. Hear what? Numbers 15, 37 down to verse 40, close the statement. Come on.
Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 through 40. Numbers 15, verse 37. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make some fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the border a red band of blue. Verse 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments, the laws of Yahweh, and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes after which you used to go a whoring. Verse 40. That you may remember and do all my commandments, laws, and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
Excellent. I like that young man until tomorrow, 8 o'clock, on Pale Talk. What's your closing statement behind that? Excellent. All the mothers, excellent. The elders, excellent. Until we get back on airways tomorrow on Pale Talk, excellent. All the mothers, hallelujah, Yahweh is dear. And what's your closing statement as a young man is all yours. Come on.
All right, I'm going to the book of Maccabees, chapter 1, 2 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 24 reads, and the prayer was after this matter, O Yahweh, Yahweh, creator of all things, who are fearful, strong, righteous, merciful, and the only and great king. Verse 28 reads, punish them that are pressed up with pride, do us wrong. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.